So this is the second shear in what looks like three, or two and a half, or whatever it'll end up being, on extraterrestrial planting. I'm planting in pots, greenhouses, hydroponics, raised beds. And what we did last time was we talked about cultivating in a sheltered area, the issue of being under a roof, and we're going to come back to that again today. It's going to become relevant again. But after giving a variety of sources, what we ended up saying as a bottom line is that it seems like the roof doesn't really help, at least misafek, at least out of doubt, depending a little bit on how we learned the Rishalmi. We then started on cultivating in a receptacle that is separated from the ground, and therefore it's not called cultivating in Eretz Yisrael. It ain't Eretz. And we started on the topic of a solid bottomed pot, a pot when the bottom is solid. And what we said was we had the Rishalmi in Shvius that said you're not supposed to test seeds in a dirt in a pot during Shemitah. It was unclear which kind of pot that was. Is that a pot with a hole in it? Is that a solid pot? And we had views that were strict, and we had views that were lenient, in particular the Chazon Ish. On the side of leniency, and that's going to become very, very important. We also had a possible basis for leniency from the Yerushalmi in Demai, depending on how you read the Yerushalmi in Demai. But I'm not going to go back over that again. That was the last bit last time, the Yedid Nefesh, the Ridbaz, the Chazon Ish as well. The upshot of both sugyos, Yerushalmi Shvius regarding testing seeds in a pot, and the Yerushalmi in Demai regarding separating Truma and Meiser from produce that grew in a solid bottom pot, the upshot of both of them, according to the Chazon Ish, is that there is room for leniency during Shemitah if you plant in a solid pot. But what we need to do today, first of all, is to define what exactly is a solid pot. It's not as simple as you might think. There is the possibility that if it's made out of certain materials, even though there is no visible hole, nonetheless, we view it as having a hole. On the other hand, we're going to argue the opposite direction, that a drainage hole may not qualify as a hole at all. So there are things that look solid that aren't solid, and there are things that look like they have a hole that don't have a hole. It's like Hilchos Shabbos all over again. That's the Rav Kook's connection of Shemitah and Shabbos. We also have to talk about plants that grow over the side of the pot. What if the pot has a hole in it, but it's sitting on top of a tile? All sorts of very interesting physics to discuss today. So, let's start out by talking about what constitutes a solid pot in terms of having a pot that doesn't have a hole, and yet it is considered to be a pot with a hole in it. And we start with the Gemara Menachos, Pei Dalet Omid Beis, source Aleph on the source sheets. Zev and Jeffrey, you have the source sheets? You need me to upload it or you're good?
I do.
Okay, great, thank you. So this is also a sugya in the Rishalmi in Chala, but I chose the Bavli Menachos Peidal. It is much easier for us to work with. They're talking about Bikurim. So we know that Bikurim are technically supposed to involve bringing the first fruits, as well as reciting psukim from Parashas Kisavo, aka the Haggadah, in the Beis HaMikdash. And the rule is that only if Bikurim are required do you do both of those. Bring the Bikurim and say the psukim. So the Gemara Menachos, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis, in source Aleph, Tani Chada, one brisa says, Shebegag v'shebechurva v'shebeatzis v'shebesfina, if produce grew on a roof, in a ruin, in a pot, in a boat, maybe the kore, full bikurim, say the psukim, the whole bit. But Tanya Idach, but I have another brisa that says, no, maybe they ain't no kore, you bring the produce, but you do not say the psukim. And so the Gemara says, okay, this is what we do when we have two brisas that seem to conflict. We say they're dealing with different cases. So the brisa that says, yes, you say the psukim, is talking about one case. The brisa that says, don't say the psukim, is talking about a different case. What are the different cases? I skip to the parts where it deals with the roof and it deals with the ruin to get to the parts that are relevant for us. Atzitz lo kasha. We can understand the two brisos regarding pots. Kan b'nekuva, kan b'she'en nekuva. One is talking about where the pot has a hole in it. One is talking about where the pot does not have a hole in it. Where the pot has a hole in it, then obviously, maybe vikore, you say the psukim. If the pot does not have a hole in it, you do not say the psukim. Sfina asfina lokasha, and boats also are not a problem. Kan bisfina shel eitz, kan bisfina shel cheres. One is talking about a boat made of wood, one is talking about a boat made of clay. if you just leave me with that Gemara without the help of any Rishonim, I don't know which boat it is that requires Bikurim with Psukim, right? Zeb, you tell me. More likely to require Bikurim and Psukim from a boat that's made of wood or a boat that's made of clay? I have no idea. No, Zeb is shrugging and furrowing his brow for the benefit of those who are not on Zoom. What in the world is this? So what we're going to see are a couple of different views, and the views themselves break down into sub-views, and that's why I've made a chart, which you see in source base on your sheet, although, as I will know, we need to make one correction to the chart. The first view is, basically, some materials are never considered solid. They may be solid in the sense that I can't perceive, but look, we all, you know, took science in school, and we understand that the fact that there isn't a hole doesn't mean that nothing is passing. So there are substances that are permeable for one reason or another, without having a hole. Yes, everything is permeable, except certain skulls from students of mine. But I'm gonna leave that for another discussion for another time. Lest I name names. So, some materials are never considered solid. How does that work? So first we start out, pride of place always is Rashi. And Rashi's position, as you see in Source Gimel, Besvina Shacheres, Mevi Vekore Mishum Tshal Eretzi. He says, full Bikurim for Cheres, for pottery, if the boat is made out of clay, it's just like the ground below, it is considered permeable, as opposed to wood. So if it's in a clay boat, then you bring and you recite the psukim. That's the idea. And therefore, translating that to pots, if I have a pot that has a clay bottom, it is not considered to be solid. Tosfos was bothered by that, because going back to the wording in the Gemara, the way that the three cases before the boat case were framed when it was resolving the differences, the first case that they brought was talking about where you actually say the psukim, just like the first brisa was the one where you say the psukim. The second case that was brought is where where you would not say the psukim. So the second brisa was maybe the eno kore. The second case of the pot was eno nakuba, the pot that doesn't have a hole in it. And so too here, the boat, the way it should work is that the clay boat is the one where you don't bring the bikurim with the psukim. So Tosus doesn't like Rashi's answer, but that's Rashi's approach. So taking a look on your sheet at the first line in the Shitos, Rashi, as well as the Rush, it seems, as we'll get to, says, if it's cheres, if it's clay, if it's got a hole in it, if it's nakuv, it's like land, it's like the earth itself. Eino nakuv also is like the earth itself. If it's wood, nakuv, if it has a hole, it's like the earth itself. Eino nakuv, but if there's no hole, then lav karka. Then it's not considered like
that. Where do you see the rock distinguishes between nakuv and wood?
That he distinguished between nakuv and eino nakuv with wood, because in the previous one we dealt with, when the atzitz, he said nakuva and eino nakuva. Right? The Gemara said it.
Partly,
no, because Rashi said cheres is always maybe bekore. Yeah.
Regarding clay being permeable, could you learn anything up from the laws of Kashrus regarding clay?
That's a very interesting question. Could we work with the laws of Kashrus and absorption with clay? And if you say that your plant is in the ground for 24 hours, and therefore there's some blia going on, it's an interesting idea. I don't recall seeing anybody make any such connections. Rav Sammy is shaking his head. He doesn't think so either. What he's saying is not so far off in the sense that we do blend areas of halacha in this regard. It's not foreign to say, let's bring in something that's completely different from Yanika. We're going to talk Toma and Tahara. It's not as out there as one might say. But nonetheless, I haven't seen anybody make that association. The Rush, sorry. I can't hear you. That's true. No, but that's why I gave the case of Kabush. Yeah, that's why I said 24 hours. Yeah. I'm assuming you don't plant with vinegar. The Rosh, in his Halachos Ketanos, in Hilchos Arla, in source Dalet on your sheet, at first read, seems to be like Rashi. If you take a look, he says, "Vanotei b'sfina afishen nekuva." You plant in a boat, even though it has no hole. Imi shal cheres. If it is of cheres, then arlo will apply. Umefarish b'Yerushalmi she'en kli cheres omi b'fnei hasharashin. The reason why is because clay doesn't keep out the roots. V'hein mefatvein it derech hacheres v'yonkin min hakarka. Now, lefapeya doesn't really seem to fit here. Lefapeya is a term that we use for like pots that are boiling, to go over into kashrus discussions actually. The and when vapor is being transmitted. Leaving that aside, he says that that when you're dealing with clay, the fact that the surface is solid, it doesn't help you. Aval shel eitz boyin akiva, and wood, it depends on whether it's got a hole in it or not. That's the way I would have read the Rush. That's the way I did read the Rush, as a matter of fact. And he's linking it to Yerushalmi and Arla Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. However, the Mishnah LeMelech in Hilchos Bikurim, in his very, very, very long discussion there, the first quarter of it deals with this discussion and the different shittos, and he says that's not what the Rush is saying. He says the Rush agrees with a view that we're going to bring from the Ravid, which says that neither clay nor wood is considered to be penetrated unless there is a hole, as long as you're dealing with seeds. However, in context, the Rush is dealing with the laws of Arla. Arla applies to trees. Don't compare the roots of your pepper plant and your tomato plant with the roots of a tree. The roots of a tree can go through things that seed roots cannot. So the Mishnah HaMelech writes in Source Hay, and then I'm going to come back to the correction in the table momentarily. Vanoteya b'sfid, I'm sorry, v'hineya rush b'chos erla kasab dot dot dot, v'hanira etzli b'daz harush, hu desvira le kasvaras harayva chikasabnu, de isle, de bain shal eitz, bain shal cheres bayan akiva. He really believes roots, a hole is required. Whether it's wood, whether it's clay, doesn't matter. Ela de sha'ani hacha de nata ilan, but it's different over here because we're talking trees. However, that's only true with pottery. But if it's made of wood, wood will not go through the wood bottom of the boat. So, to make the correction courtesy of Netanel, who noticed this during Seder this morning, if you look at the table, the Rush, as explained by the Mishnah LeMelech, in pottery, he says, if it's got a hole in it, it's like karka. If it doesn't have a hole in it, then for seeds, it's not like karka, the solid bottom holds. Whereas, if it's a tree, then this is karka because the roots are somehow going to go through the bottom, whatever that means. Made of wood, if it has a hole in it, it is like karka. And here's the correction, eino nakuv, lav karka. If it doesn't have a hole, it's not like karka. Okay, this is all the view of the Rush. Rabbeinu Tam has two views brought in Tosfos. I'm bringing them here on your sheet in source Vav, but I'm actually flipping, well, not I'm flipping, Tosos is flipping the history of it. Tosos first brings you Rabbeinu Tam's view, and then he says, you know what Rabbeinu Tam used to say? And he brings that as well. But the first line in source Vav, V'nira l'Rabbeinu Tam, d'b'shel cheres mahanya nekiva. Rabbeinu Tam says, I think if it's made of pottery, then the hole works. Avol bishel eitz, but with wood, afilu nakuv lo mahani midi. Completely off the rails is the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi that clay is more like the ground. Hello, Mickey. Do you need the source sheet, or you're okay? Okay. So so Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi that a clay surface is just like the ground, but it needs a hole still. And wood, he says, even if you put a hole in it, does not make it a pierced pot. Now, I can't think Rabbeinu Tam means that indefinitely. Meaning, all you need is the framework of a pot, and now, magically, the bottom is considered to be solid no matter what. That's nonsense. Clearly, at some point, the tree is considered connected to the ground. But he doesn't say. He doesn't say. So Rabbeinu Tam is telling us that the Gemara is talking about where the clay or wood pot is pierced. And in other words, both cases, whether it's eitz, whether it's cheres, has a hole in it. And only the clay one has Bikurim with Psukim. This answer will not solve the problem of the order of the Gemara. Right? Even though that was your challenge to Rashi, you didn't actually solve anything because you're still not working right. Right? You're still saying that Eitz is, right, Eitz is, wood is still first, and wood is the one that's not saying the Psukim. And then he brings you, and that's what I brought you on the sheet, in the table, the sheet that's Rabbeinu Tam before Rabbeinu Tam Tchila. He says if it's pottery, then it depends on having a hole. If it's wood, having a hole doesn't make a difference. Okay. Then you get the last view within this overall take, which is the first view of Rabbeinu Tam, brought in source Vav. Utchila hayirago Rabbeinu Tam lafareish. Rabbeinu Tam first said, that v'shal eitz afilu nekiva lo boi. That if it's made of wood, you don't need a hole. Dimislach leach min akarka yoser mishal cheres, because it becomes more moist than clay does. V'nakit hashta bereisha hahidim, maybe v'korei kmo be'inach. And now the parallel structure is restored in the Gemara. The first case is the case of wood, because in the case of wood, it's like it's the ground, whereas in the case of clay, it needs piercing. This view that wood is more penetrable due to moisture is also brought in the Ritva and Gittin Zayin Amud Beis. I didn't bring it on the sheet. I felt like we had enough sources. But if you take a look in the Ritva there in Zion Amud Beis, you'll see that as well. All of this is within the view that says that there are materials that are considered permeable even without a hole. The Ravid says this is all wrong. The Ravid says the only way in which something can be in a pot and be considered to be in the ground is if there is a hole. But the Gemara assumes that you know boat construction. And therefore, when the Gemara talks about a clay boat versus a wood boat, it assumes that you are already aware that a wood boat is going to have holes in it. You know that, right? You have wood boats, don't you? That's the Ravid's assumption. I brought you the Ravid on the Rambam in Hilchas Tumas Ochlin in Source Zion. So here we bring in Lazatuma. The Rambam writes, Klei glalim, klei adama, shashrashim, mecholim, livkawa, behen, v'latzeis, eina machshirim es hazroim. He says, if you have a pot that's either made out of dirt or that's made out of dung, and the roots are able to go through it, then any plant that's in it that gets wet is not prepared to receive tumah because it's considered connected to the ground. Even though there's no hole in the pot, doesn't matter, the roots can break through, that's good enough. And the Ravid on there makes the comment, I'm skipping to the ellipsis in Sor Zion in the Ravid, a wood boat, you bring the Bikurim and you say the Psukim, why? Because there are holes in the boat for the oars. And therefore any plant that's in the boat is considered to be connected to the ground. Pottery is brittle. You make a hole in the pottery boat for the oars. I don't know why you don't make them before you harden the clay, but I don't know anything about making a clay boat. So he says you don't make holes for the oars in that case because that'll break. And therefore you don't bring bikurim from such a boat. He says that's what they were talking about in the Gemara, the kind of boats that everybody knew about. So that works to fit with the order in the Gemara then, right? The case of the wood boat, you bring Bikurim and you say the Psukim, because there's a hole. Not in the case of the pottery one. The Rosh in Chala sides with this idea as well. If you take a look at Source Ches, Source Test, I'm going to skip it right now, but the Rosh in Chala agrees with this. So this is the view of the Ravid. You could see much more about this if you want to learn that Mishnah Lamelech. Yes, through Sammy. Yeah, I was assuming that, yes. Rav Sammy makes the point, for those on the Zoom, that these holes, if they're for the oars, presumably are on the side of the boat. You're not rowing the boat, you know, from underneath. So now what you're telling me is these holes suffice to connect the plants to the ground, even though they're in the side of the boat, not in the bottom of the boat. That's something we're going to come back to when we talk about roots from a plant or plants that extend over the side of a pot, and the idea that there's considered to be a connection even though the hole is in the side and not in the bottom. Well, roots go everywhere. I mean, it depends a little bit on the kind of plant that you have, right? The Gemara Bava Basra talks about chatzav as a plant that has roots that go straight down, and they used it for boundaries for that purpose. But certainly when you're dealing with trees, they tend to spread laterally. And also though with some plants, I mean, your mileage may vary, but yeah, they do. Okay. Now that we've spent 20 minutes working our way through Menachos Pei Daled Amud Beis, what does it have to do with our discussion in Shemitah? So this will lead us potentially to different views regarding pot materials in Shemitah. The Ma'aril Diskin, and I brought you his tshuva in source Yud, makes the statement regarding Shemitah. Asur Lizroa, no planting. Hein Bekarka, Hein Ba'afresha Ba'atzitz, not in the ground, not in a pot either. Afa Yidei Nochri, even having a non-Jew do it. Vehein Bekli Cheres, Va'afilu Bekli Eid Shala Al-Hachalonos. Whether you're talking about pottery, or whether you're talking about wood, if it's on a windowsill, doesn't matter. Asur Lintoa V'Lizroa B'Shvias. He says, no planting in Shemitah. So he says, not in a wood pot, not in a clay pot, and he didn't say anything about whether the pot has a hole in it or not. Apparently he doesn't like planting in pots at all. It sounds like he's talking about a solid pot, and he's being machmir for both Rashi and the view in Rabbeinu Tam regarding wood, right? Rashi's view that clay is connected to the ground, and the view of Rabbeinu Tam in his second view, which was really his first view, right, that wood is considered connected to the ground. It seems like he's being machmir for both. Unless you're going to tell me he's talking about a pot with a hole in it, he just didn't bother to say so, but I think that's very hard to say. Unless you want to say he's being gozer, but he didn't even say he's being gozer. Yeah. I think he's being machmir according to everybody. I think that's, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I think so. It could be he had allergies.
Does it matter what sort of material?
He didn't distinguish. I mean, the thing is that you don't generally grow things in metal pots unless you have a hole in the pot. Because metal pots that can't drain, your plant's going to die. So that's the Ma'aril Diskin. The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, follows the Ravid. The Ravid, the Rash and Chala, as well as the Rush as explained by the Mishnah Lamelech. If you take a look at source Yud Aleph on the sheet, he says, Ubein shel eitz, bein shel cheres, whether we're talking about wood or pottery, yesh lahakel kedaz ha-Ravid va-Rash Chala va-Rash and Hilchas Arla, didavka be-ilon chashiv cheres kinakuv. It's only when you're dealing with a tree, with the strong roots, that I'll say that a clay bottom is considered to have holes in it. Aval, but lo, lizroyim, but not if you're dealing with regular plants. That's his view, and he goes on to say, certainly true, if the pot is on a floor of stone separated from the ground, and we're going to talk about the floors of stone. We have to come back to that. The Bris Olam, Rabbi Yamin Zilber, in Shvius Aleph Kuf Chavtala, takes the same approach of the Chazon Ish, that, again, if you're dealing with plants, not dealing with trees, but dealing with small plants, that a wood or clay pot that does not have a hole in it is going to be fine. That's the position of the Chazon Ish. Okay. So we've talked through the possibility that a pot that looks solid isn't solid. What about the other way around? A pot that has a hole in it, but the hole is not considered to be significant. So the Chazon Ish wrote, and I brought it for you here in source Yud Beis, that you can have a small hole for drainage if it's small enough that the roots are not going to be able to go through the hole. But he says, I don't know what this means from a measurement perspective. He says, V'nekev katan lahotzi mayim lo chashiv nekev. He says, if you have a small hole to just eliminate the water from the pot, that's not called a hole. Ubavad shelo yek sharish katan. It just can't be as wide as a small root. Vupachos mikizayis, which is less than the diameter of an olive. The less than the diameter of an olive. What he's talking about there is from the laws of Tumah and Tahara, where you're talking about defining a pot as having a hole if it's able to have an olive go through the hole. So he says the roots tend to be narrower than olives. Certainly Chazanish olives. Although I don't know about Chazanish roots. So maybe, I don't know. But then he says, Ve'ein anu bekiyin bo bidiyuk. I don't know precisely. V'yasu rakafiyo tzas mashkin berevach. They should only have enough that the pot is able to drain out the liquid. Then he has a side note about the branches extending over the side of the pot. And then he comes back and says, Omnam yesh lachkor achar haminhag. You should investigate what the minhag is. V'im abasinu naga bo iser in kawach lahatir v'alacha rofefes v'alach achar haminhag. Right, I quoted this last week. I'm still not entirely sure what part of his comments that line is talking about. I think it's talking about diameter of the hole, but I'm not really sure that's the part he's talking about. It's very unclear within the Chazon Ish. Some have tried to provide a measurement for the hole. Rav Shaul Reichenberg, who's from the Beis Hamedrash LaHalacha B'Hityashvut Chaklait, well, it's probably not pronounced that way. Beit Hamedrash LaHalacha B'Hityashvut Chaklait, I would guess. But he writes, what is it? I can do better, but it's time to sester. He writes in Echos Shmita, Atzit Sheyesh Bo Nekev Bekoter Millimeter Echad. He says, if it has a hole, and the diameter is, actually no, Koter is not diameter. Koter is, then this is the diameter. Okay. If he says the diameter is 1 millimeter, yesh lahachmir lachshivo lenakuv. He says you should be strict, and it is considered pierced. Just a millimeter. The Yalkut Yosef I went looking for it last night to put on the source, yesterday to look it on the source sheet, and I couldn't find it again to put on the source sheet, but I saw the Yalkut Yosef say the minug is 1 centimeter, and certainly not less than half a centimeter. Rabbi Yamin Zilber in his Bris Olam notes that holes in the side of the pot are also a problem. This goes back now to the question that Rav Sammy had above about the ore holes. So the same thing is this will obviously be evidence to support Rav Zilber's point here. Take a look at Source Yadalid. Uklisha nekev shalom in hatzad dino kinokuv. He says if the hole is on the side, it's considered to be a pierced pot. V'kolshken klishein lo defanos klal. And certainly, if there are no sides, kein tavla, it's just like a tablet and the plant is in the dirt on top of it. Ela de'im ha-tavla rechava harbe. However, if your tabletop extends really far beyond the pot, osha makom rutsaf saviv, or the area around it is enclosed, literally paved. The tzarech iyun shiro shavir mafsik. So then it's not clear just how far how close those barriers need to be, or how much distance the surface needs to go in order to serve as a hefsek. But that's in terms of size of the holes and placement of the holes. Exposure of the plant to the open air over the sides of the pot is also an issue. And here I bring you the Chazon Ish in Source Tesvav. This is what was in the ellipsis in Source Yud Beis. Chazon Ish says, "V'yesh lizaher shalo yetsu anofos chutz la'atzitz." Be careful that the branches not extend out of the pot. Shaz dino kimechubur. Then it's considered to be connected to the ground. And this comes from the Mishnah Lamelech, who said it's nourished from the air based on the Mishnah in Uktzin. If you take a look at Source Tezayin, V'dash shemashik asavnuli el da'atishay onakuv kitalush hu. He says, when we say that a pot that doesn't have a hole in it is considered to be separate from the ground, davka kishalo yetsu ha'anafim chutz la'atzitz. That's only if they don't leave the pot, the branches don't leave the pot. Avlam yetsu chutz la'atzitz yesh lo din mechubar. But otherwise it's considered connected to the ground. V'din zeh lamadati. And I learned this in the Mishnah in Uktzim, which says, kishu shenata ba'atzitz v'gdila v'yatzitz chutz la'atzitz tahora. If you have a gourd and you plant it in the atzitz, in the pot, and it grows outside because gourds are vines, it's considered to be connected to the ground. So we're learning from Tumah and Tahara for our discussion as well. Side note, by the way, remember this Mishnah in Uktzin, because the next time you have to make a siyum, right, from some siyum Mishnah, so whatever it is, you can give that last non-Mishnah about Shai Olamos a break, and instead talk about Shemitah. I think this is a good idea. Because of Sham HaRash, Shenot Aba'atzis She'eno Naku. The Rash there on that Mishnah says it's talking about a pot that does not have a hole in it. V'hukshar Sham, and it's a case in which the pot, the plant growing in the pot actually became eligible to receive Tumah because of exposure to water. V'nitmeis, it became Tamei. The Kitzlusha Dami L'chol Davar, because while it's in the pot, it's kins on the ground. But then Vigdila, and then it grew. V'yatzis L'chutz La'atzis, and it left the pot. V'nechsheves Kimechuber, and it's considered now to be joined to the ground. Uparchala Tumah, and the Tumah leaves. So the plant actually was Tameh, and loses its Tumah by growing out of the pot. That's the way that he reads it. The Rambam thinks this is nonsense. The Rambam reads it very differently, and what he says, and he brings it here, actually, he brings you Rashi. We're gonna see it in Yud Zayin as being the Kesef Mishnah, seeing it in the Rambam. Might as well just jump down to the Kesef Mishnah's presentation. He first brings you Rashi, which, again, it was in the pot, it was Hukshar Lekabel Tumah, became Tameh, left the pot, became Tahor, but then in the second paragraph in the Kesef Mishnah, he says, and we talk Divrei Rabbeinu Perush HaMishnah of the Kan, based on the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin Beis Tes, as well as in his comments to the Mishnah. The case is, as I bolded it, Bekishus Tahora Shanata Ba'atzitz Nakovaskin, and we're talking about a Tahor plant. It was planted in a pot that had a hole in it. Shekemen Shuinetua Eina Mekabelas Tumah. Ve'im Higdila V'yatzitz Chutz La'atzitz Salkadai Dachamina Sha'osa Sheyatza Chutz Havia Kitalosh Mekabelas Tumah. He reads, the Rambam reads that discussion entirely differently. He says what's going on is, the pot has a hole in it. The plant in the pot is considered connected to the ground. Therefore, it cannot become Tameh. A branch leaves the pot, extends over the side. Now I think it's connected, it's separated from what was growing in the pot. And it can become Tameh. And it's teaching me that no, because now it's considered connected to the ground, and therefore it's still going to be Tahor. It cannot become Tameh. In other words, the big difference between the Rambam and the previous view that we cited is that the Rambam thinks there's no such thing as losing its Tumah by this airspace connection to the ground. That's nonsense. If it became Tameh, it's Tameh. However, in the event that it didn't become Tameh in the first place, the connection to the ground works through the air. So this is a Kula in the laws of Tumah and Tahara, but it is a Chumra in the laws of Shemitah. Because again, our question is, what am I allowed to do during Shemitah? And now you're telling me, I can grow something in a pot if the pot is considered solid. But I better make sure that nothing is leaving the pot, the airspace of the pot. Which leads us to that very odd question that I know everybody enjoyed when they were preparing this from Rav Asher Weiss. Well, not really from Rav Asher Weiss, from the Avnei Nezer. But the Rav Asher Weiss is the source that I brought for the discussion. Will this apply even on the upper floor of a house? Okay? I have a house which is blessed with a second floor. I have a pot on the upper floor of the house. Well, on the one hand, you'll say, it seems to me there's a lot of separation between it and the ground. On the other hand, plants can be nourished through airspace. So what do? So if you take a look at Source Yud Ches, first of all, the Chuas Beis David says that the whole idea of learning from Tuma and Tahara to say it's nourished from the ground as far as Shemitah is a little unclear. He says, yeah, there are those who don't agree with this whole concept. Nonetheless, we're strict, like the Mishnah Melech and the Chazon Ish. He says, if the branch is on an upper floor, there's room to be lenient. According to the Ritva in Gittin, who said that even if you had, going back to the boat discussion, a gap of 10 tefach between the ground and the plant, then they're already considered separate from the ground. That's number one. Number two, we're going to see another argument from Rav Asher Weiss in a little bit, a separate argument that he's going to bring, which basically is, you can't seriously tell me that a plant in a pot on an upper floor is considered connected to the ground below. Because if you were to make that statement, Zev, you have multiple floors in your house? Do you have any plants growing in the upper floor? Not sure. Okay.
We don't know, but we just did.
Sorry?
We don't know, but there was a time that we had.
There was a time when you did. So according to this theory, that the plant that's in the upper floor is considered connected to the ground because the airspace, you know, grows through that airspace, you would need to figure out where in the ground, on the floor below it is parallel to that pot to make sure you don't walk underneath it on Shabbos. Because you're being kosher, you're separate. That's Rav Asher Weiss's argument. Whether that's really meant literally or not, whether you would really say that that's true, that walking underneath it would count as kosher, is an interesting question. But he uses that as a way to show that you can't seriously think this. Yes, for Sammy. No? What? Yeah. So, but that's the airspace issue overall. Even if you're going to take Rav Asher Weiss's kula, if you're within 10 tefach of the plant, within 10 tefach of the ground, then you do have a problem if it extends over the side. What if the pot has a hole? This is the last point within solid and pierced pots before we get to the Chazon Ish's overall heter that leads to greenhouses. What if the pot has a hole in it? However, it's on tile. Could I consider that to be like an Eino Nakuv? The plant is not extending beyond the pot. That's not an issue. There are no holes on the sides. It's on tile. Could I consider that to be like Eino Nakuv, like it is unpierced? So the Chazon Ish writes in Chaf Beis Aleph, I brought it for you in Source Yates, V'kol shekein ba'omid al ritzpa shel even she'eino yonek min ha'aretz. If it's on stone, right, I mentioned this before, if it's on stone, then that's like being in a pot that has no hole in it. However, some were strict regarding tile. They said no. And this is found in the Shevet HaLevi, which I brought you in source Chaf. He says, V'dad ma'ashakas v'chazon ish, v'kol shekein ba'omid al ritzpa, etc. Ein kavanaso ritzpa haragila shalanu shekurin balatin. He says, the Chazon Ish doesn't mean our type of tiles that we have. 30 years ago, I had this conversation with the Chazon Ish. I thought my tiles count as stone. And it would be a good interruption between the pot and the ground below. And the Chazon Ish disagreed with me. He says a floor like that is not an interruption. And in fact, the pot is being nourished from the ground below. You know what? One day, I actually went and picked up the pot. Not to question the Chazon Ish. He picked up the pot because they were moving something and needed it moved. Let's be clear. And I also picked up the tile that had been on the floor. And I added in, I bolded this in Chav. I saw clearly, he says, there was an indent in the tile, a hole in the tile, at least on the upper side that had been under the pot. And he said, I believe that this was because of the nutrition being drawn from the ground up into the pot. I'm floored. No pun intended. No, I really didn't. I don't understand, but he says, that's what he says, and he says, therefore, our tiles are not good enough for this purpose. I found the tile was worn away below the pot, and therefore that demonstrates that this is so. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman was inclined toward this position. If you take a look at Source Chaf Aleph, he says, "Ubekomas karka on the ground floor Atzitz nakuv shomer agabe ritzpa efsher dekeven sharitzpa kvua umechuberes yapem akarka roanis haritzpa kitzunma, which I explained in brackets as a sela. Shagabe karka v'miniach afar agabe tzunma v'zar b'soch afar reposhet chashiv mamash kizareya ba'aretz m'neshafar atzmo chashiv kekargis. As if you're on the ground floor, he's not talking upper floors now, but if you're on the ground floor, your pot is considered to be connected to the ground through the floor, such that it's just like if you had spread dirt over a boulder. You can't say that's separate from the ground. It's not separate from the ground. And therefore, this is a Shemitah problem. Upper floors are one thing. Ground floors, he's machmir. Rav Asher, why, he said, come on. In Source Chav Beis, umikal makom near with the in laachmir bazeh. He says, don't be machmir on this. Kol kach, or don't be so machmir. Dekamet dehios yeshkan. He says, we have a bunch of reasons to question this. Aleph, first of all, Be'emes near the Balatos di Dun Kevin Mamashum of Sikiminika. He says, I don't know what tiles you had, but our tiles are solid and they interrupt. The plant is not getting anything from the ground. The Kolshekin, Kishimitachdom Yesh Chol Ubiton, and certainly when you have sand and cement underneath it, right? Hopefully you live in a house that's more than just dirt between, you know, the floor and your feet. Beis, Yenika Derech Ha'avir Nechlek Ubar Rishon V'Achon Kemavur. We had a whole debate, in any case, about nourishing going through the airspace. And Gimel, Af Im Yesh Yenika Derech Ha'avir Efshir Dein Ze'elad Yutfachim, that Ritva and Gittin, he says, caps it at Ten Tefach. And then he goes on with his Shabbos discussion about the people living on the lower floor, and he says, are you really seriously going to tell me that? And he says, the fact that people aren't machmir for Shabbos, which is an Isser Kares, tells you an awful lot about how we should apply it with our discussion. And then he says in the last paragraph here, V'afa meshehech me'argon Roshom Zaman Orbach v'komas karkashi kitzunma, as far as Roshom Zaman's chumra for the bottom floor, l'fiyani is daiti sha'ani tzunma. I think a boulder is a different story. D'havi adama tiv'it v'cherek me'karka olam. He says the boulder is part of the ground. D'yesh sados tzla'im. You have fields that are full of such boulders. And that's why a boulder will not constitute an interruption. Whatever grows on it is considered connected to the ground. Not because nourishing is going through the boulder, it's just that the boulder is part of the ground. Not the tile on your floor. He's not a fan. So the upshot of what we've said so far, next week, God willing, I want to give you some review question things that you can use to help make sure we follow this. But what we've said is, solid pots may have leniencies depending on the material that they are made of. Even with a hole, there may be room for leniency if the hole is really tiny, but we are concerned about holes that are on the side of the pot. That is for sure a concern. And we are concerned about some materials for pots that they may be considered pierced. Certainly if you're dealing with a tree, that may be so. We have all of these different shitos, but if we can cobble together a kula out of all of them, then the Chazon Ish is going to enable the following heter. He says, number one, we had the leniencies that are potentially applicable to pots. Number two, we had the Pa'as HaSholchan's idea regarding planting under a roof that we saw last week. And so the Chazon Ish says, let's put those things together to make a kula. Source Chav Gimel. V'heichi she'ha'atzitz b'bayis. If you have a pot in a house, the imtim t'lomer d'zareya b'bayis d'rabbanon, if planting in the house is itself rabbinically prohibited, meaning under a roof, right, that we saw last week, Yesh lomar de ba'atzit she'onakuv lo gazru, may be the decree regarding planting in a house does not apply if you're talking about a pot that is solid. Kevin de gam bezoreya, meaning outside, eino ala derabanan, because in planting outside it would only be a derabanan. Ve'achrei shekvar hora zakin pas ha'shulchan lahakel ha'pezoreya ba'bayis, and after all, the Ba'at ha'shulchan was lenient regarding planting indoors. Certainly, if you're going to plant in a pot that doesn't have a hole in it, you have something to depend on. Now, we're going to need to explore a potentially major gap between the Chazon Ish's psak and its commercial implementation in a greenhouse. This is not a greenhouse heter yet. Right now, it's a pot without a hole in it inside your house. That's what he's giving here. Frankly, he wasn't always this enthusiastic. If you take a look at source Chav Dalet, Chalila lahakel atzit she'en onakuv b'chutz. God forbid to be lenient regarding a pot that has no hole in it outside. Vafilu b'shamateches, even a metal pot, which Rosemi wanted to talk about before. Destama rehita de'en onakuv kinakuv midirabanan. Because the assumption is that midirabanan, we are going to equate non-pierced with pierced if it's outside. And in a house, if it's in the ground, also don't be lenient. And even a pot without a hole in it, a solid pot, indoors, I think you should be strict. He says, but if you're lenient to rely on the Aruch HaShulchan's heter, the Pasa Shulchan's heter to be indoors, I don't have enough strength to protest. They have someone to depend on. It's called you in Source Chaf Gimel. Since the Gemara is not explicit that a solid bottom pot is a problem, he says if the Gemara doesn't explicitly prohibit, that becomes a basis for using it for leniency. The same thing is found in Rav Zilber's Bris Olam in Aleph, Kuf Yud Ches to Kuf Chaf. He also is less enthusiastic. He's strict if it's just like for decoration, you just want to have flowers around. However, he says to maintain existing plants that people are using for nutrition, he's willing to be lenient. I'm sorry, I just want to correct what I said about the Bris Olam, because I re-looked at my note here. Bris Olam says leniency number one if you're using it for food, and leniency number two if it's for decoration but it's an existing plant. So you don't want to lose what you had. Sorry, Natano.
So, if the Chazanish wanted to protest why he did not send his kula, and said, for those of you who wanted to, you have the Pasha Shulchan to rely on, I don't think that's okay.
Why right.
Clearly not.
So I didn't go back to look in the Chazanish, but you have to know when you read the Chazanish that some parts of it are assembled from his writings in different areas. It's not always him writing Keseder. So it's possible that he actually was holding the sugya at one point in this discussion and wrote this here, and then at a different time and wrote that there, and somebody else put them together. I don't know. You'd have to go back and take a look. But in practice, we have a whole raft of evidence. So Rav Kalman Kahana, Shvi'it B'chamamot, in Source Chav Hei, tells us the following. The Anu Chazinon, could be it was a non in the original. I had to correct a lot of the cut and paste OCRs here. But in any case, we saw Maiserav. Milavad Mashakasa Mimfurish Bimikhtav Shakasa Bishnas Tafresh Tadi Zayin Upur Samba Moriya. The Chazan Ish wrote a letter which was published in the journal Moriya. Elo Tavshin Lamites. Hutar Lehem Atzis She'en Onakuv Tachas Atikra. A pot without a hole in it is mutter under a roof. Vere Hitter Lemaisa Legadel Gidule Mayim. He allowed hydroponics. Uferish itmar az she'ein lahavdo ben milui shel eid shebo gadlu agidulim beinim im gadlu b'mayim o b'chatzatz o b'kavul o afilu b'afar me ha'adama. He didn't care what material it grew in. A pot under a roof is a pot under a roof. It wasn't a heter for hydroponics because it was hydroponic. That was a case like that. But it wasn't his point. V'chol ha'heter azem b'busas al atzitz she'ein onakuv tachas tikra. He says the heter is because it is a pot without a hole in it under a roof. That is good enough for the Chazon Ish. So he says the Chazon Ish permitted this arrangement. Rav Yosef Efrati, Talmud of Rabbi Yashub, but before that of the Chazon Ish's line. Points to the heter of the Chazon Ish for Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim in Source Chavav. Zos Va'od, B'Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim Gidlu B'Idudo, with the encouragement of the Chazon Ish, and in parentheses, V'af B'Tmicha Kaspit, Shusga Al Yedei Maran Zechusa Yagen Aleinu. He says, the Chazon Ish fundraised for it. Gidule mayim v'chatzatz. He allowed hydroponic growth. He allowed growth in pots. V'yadua ki lo machmas gidule mayim hitir marana chazanishas hadabar. It wasn't because it was hydroponic. V'mneisha daito haisa shalo kibal anechwa v'kesef. He did not follow the views which we haven't gotten to yet, God willing, next week, which permit hydroponics davka. When people asked him about the law of hydroponics, he said it's the same as growing something in the earth. He's quoted as saying there is no difference for hydroponics. Read this week's Toronto Torah for more about hydroponics in Truma and Meiser. He even says, or Pella says, that the Chazanish actually was not comfortable with hydroponics being distinguished. He said that's a normal way of growing things in the U.S. now. The Chazanish's reason for permitting was because it's a pot under a roof. And the Chazanish fundraised for it. So he says, that's good enough for me. Rav Nissim Karelitz, on the other hand, says, no, only Sha'as Hadchak, in source Chav Zayin. V'chein shamati mimaran ha-chazon ish, deheter zehu rak b'sha'as Hadchak bilvad. Only Sha'as Hadchak. Now the question is, how do you define Sha'as Hadchak? Maybe he felt that that's what that we're living in. You need that for food. The Valpizem manam aran chazanish b'shnas tavshir dubeis me'achad sharatz alasus meisel izra yerpat zichinu nakum b'bayit. There was a case where somebody wanted to do that in his house, and the chazanish said, "Nah, you don't need it. It's not shasat chak for you." What happens after the chazanish? Besides everybody debating about what the chazanish said, so an halicha sad that Rav Efrati brings that Rav Shlomo Zalman permits, that Rav Wozner permits, but hesitates because of Ruach Chachamim. If you look in Halicha Sada in Ayin Beis, edition Ayin Beis, you'll see it there, with a more full set of comments from Wozner. And Rav Yashiv opposed it, because he said this now has become a normal way of growing plants. He only allowed it if it's owned by non-Jews, and non-Jews do the malacha. We're going to come back to that when we deal with the greenhouses. So I'm going to try to present some practical views. But knowing that you have to be over at Or Chaim, I think it's a mistake for me to start on greenhouses. The only thing I will note is just to say very briefly, Rav Zilber in the Bris Olam, which I brought you in Source Chaf Ches, we'll come back to it and read it inside next week, says any heter that you're going to give of indoor planting has to be indoors. He doesn't like the practice that apparently was becoming popular in Israel of just extending a roof over an area, giving it shade, and saying, well, that's indoors. He says, no, indoors means indoors. We'll come back to it next week. And what we're going to do is we're going to show why there are three reasons to argue that a greenhouse does not have the same heter that the Chazon Ish gave here. Two logical and one technical. And then we'll see psak on it. We'll deal with some questions about planting in a house, practical questions. Can you open the window if you have a plant in your house? Can you transport the pot outside? And then we'll finally move into hydroponics. And Rasami, I think, are going to need all of week three. I apologize. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much. Efrei Lechem Purim, Purim Sameach.